How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Nun Aleph, Daf 51 of Masechet Bava Metzia. Friends. Yeah, today we're doing another like Mishnah to Mishnah kind of thing about Ona'a. It's funny because the sugya is Ona'a, but we're going to be speaking a bunch today about Ona, which is a mitzvah. Part of marriage. There's ona'a, and as part of the sugya of ona'a, there's ona. Okay. Very good. Here we go. All right, we can start with Aleph, Mud Aleph, about halfway through the Amud. We did quite a bit yesterday. That was a big old daf yesterday. All right. I think this one's going to be shorter. I hope. Because if I can do this quickly, then I have time for one squeeze in one more groove before Shabbos, I think, and hopefully I could do some chazara. That would be really good. Echad alekeach v'echad amoicher yesh loen ona'a. Okay, Gevaldik, as we've learned before, that ona'a is a din both by the seller as well as by the buyer. Right, a seller cannot overcharge. Meaning, if a seller overcharges, so then there would be ona'a, and if a buyer underpays, there would be ona'a. Okay, k'shem she'ona'a lehejit, kach ona'a letager, and there is ona'a both by the regular people, as well as for the merchants. Both have to be concerned about, you know, be careful with the halachas of ona'a. V'rbuda omer says, v'rbuda ein ona'a letager, there's no ona'a when it comes to a merchant. Well, Gemara is going to explain what that means. Misha hutol alav yado al elyon. The one who is kind of the one getting ona'ad. So the one who got ona'ad is the one who sort of has more leverage. He's the one who kind of gets to call the shots of how things are going to be resolved. But to omelo tein li ma'osai or tein li mashi inisoni. Right? If he wants, he could say, look, I want a full refund. Let's just reset. Alternatively, you could say, look, let's keep the transaction, but just give me back the ona'a. Give me back the difference, the ona'a. So he makes the choice. Mino hane mile, says the Gemara. How do we know that ona'a applies both to the seller as well as to the buyer? Each have to be careful with the halachas of ona'a. How do we know this? We've seen this before. The Tanur Banu that we learned in a Braise. V'risimkru mimkur la'amisecho al tonu. When you sell epis to somebody, do not do ona'a. So there you go. We see that the a seller is not allowed to overcharge. Ein li ela shenis ana lokeach. Okay, so that means that make sure not to rip off a buyer. Nisana mocher minayin. How do we know that a buyer should not underpay and therefore rip off the seller? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk says, "O kano al tonu." It says, or if you're buying, you know, do not violate the halachis of ona'a. Ve'itzrich lemichtov loikeach, ve'itzrich lemichtov mocher. The Torah needed to teach both about the buyer and about the seller. We needed to learn both of those halachis individually. Because if we would only have the halachas of the seller, that the seller has to be concerned about the halachas of mocher, of ono, mishum de kimle bizavinte, because he knows how much he paid for it. He knows he knows that he bought this thing for $10 and he's selling it for $100. He knows that. Right, so meaning he knows that that he's overcharging. But what about a buyer? Right, I was just at Chuk Machne Yehuda. I went to the fruits and vegetables monger, and he told me how much it came out to. I personally thought it sounded a little bit high, so I just I asked. Sometimes they make a mistake, So I said, this is the correct price, and you confirmed it was the correct price. So Gevaldik, Seder, all good. But I didn't know. I saw a price. I was like, I have no clue. I don't know. I don't know how much things cost. I mamish have no clue how much things cost. But I do kind of know that generally if I buy like vegetables, it'll be less expensive than if I buy fruits. Since like I didn't buy any specialty items. So it felt, although it turns out that I think maybe those cherry tomatoes were maybe specialty items. Apparently that was the expensive thing there. But anyways, but the point I'm making is that I don't know. So honestly, so I paid that. You know, I didn't know if it was a lot. I don't know if it seemed like it was a lot. Like, I wouldn't know if I was kind of paying less than normal, you know? So because the buyer doesn't know, but the seller knows, you know, how much he paid for it and how much he's selling it for. So therefore, maybe I might think that ona is a seller's thing, but not a buyer's thing. So therefore, we need, right? Lokim libzavinte, ema lo az hori rachmon. Below sonu, so maybe ona doesn't apply to the buyer because of rachmana lokeach. And if we would only write it by the buyer, mishum de kokoni de amre inche zabanto koniso avamocher de avude kamovid dami inche zovin ovid emelo azoy rachmana below sonu tzricha. This is interesting. I can't say I 100% understand the logic here. But it is interesting nonetheless that when you buy something, you're actually getting something. When you sell something, you're not getting something. Meaning, if you think about the transaction, right? If somebody goes and buys a chair, right? You go to a chairmonger and you buy a chair. You just bought a chair. I don't know how much you paid for it, $100. You now have a chair for, for years. I don't know, the chairs in this dining room, they've been here as far as I can remember, 10 years already. Hopefully they'll be there another 10 years. But why do I have a feeling that however much was paid for these chairs, that money is gone? And somebody went after work that day, bought some pizza, done. So when you buy something, you have something forever or for a while. So the person who buys something actually gets something that'll last a long time, buys something long term. The person who in exchange for that got some money that he then bought, spent on a piece of pizza, what did he get? He didn't really get something that he's going to have forever. So therefore, that is to say, I think the point is like when you buy something, like you're really buying something. When you get paid for something, you're not really getting something, long lasting, long term. And therefore, I think the point is that maybe it wouldn't be therefore considered like, when you get paid, it's not like you're like getting, like buying something significant. You're getting money that you're going to spend pretty soon afterwards, probably. And therefore, maybe ona doesn't apply there. Ona would apply to the person who's actually like really buying something of meaning. That's where there's ona. But by somebody who's selling something and is just getting some money that he's going to spend the second later, maybe ona would not apply to that side of the transaction. I can't tell you exactly why not, if we're talking about overcharging, whatever, but I guess in terms of like a actual transaction, maybe it's considered less of a transaction-y kind of thing, so maybe I might think that there would be no ona, but there is ona. Okay, fine. So let's read that inside. Because of Rachmana Lokeach, so if you would only have ona by the buyer, we should call koni, because he's actually buying something. The Amri Incha that the people say, Zavanta, when you buy something, Kanisa, you got something, when you buy something, Mazel Tov, you have something for a long term. Ava Mocher, but the fellow who's selling it, Avude Kamovid, he's losing something. Dam Incha, Zavin Ovid, when you sell something, you lose it. You had something, now it's gone. Instead, you replaced it with some money that you're going to spend on pizza in a minute. So Ema, Lo Azhoi Rachmana, Below Sonu, so maybe Lo Sonu doesn't really apply there because it's kind of, less salesy, less meaningful. So if we need both. Alright. Rebuta Omer says Rebuta, Ein ona'a l'tager, there's no ona'a when it comes to a merchant. Mishum shu tager, ein lo ona'a. Well, just because he's a merchant, so there's no ona'a. Why is no ona'a? And so far, I feel like everybody in Eretz Yisrael is just kind of waiting for Iran to attack us. So it's just like, keep on wondering, maybe Iran's attacking us because I have my noise-canceling headphones. But maybe if I could hear the power washers, I don't always hear the power washers. Sometimes I do. Will a missile? Will like a what's that called? What are those fancy missiles that they have? Is it ballistic missiles? Those are probably quieter than the power washer, right? For sure. They want it to be very, very sneaky. Yeah, the power washers, they're not very sneaky. Yeah, power washers aren't very sneaky. They're very loud. Yeah, but the thing is, the sirens, the air raid sirens would probably go off, and those are kind of loud, but as loud as the power washer, that's what they should have. When there's a missile, they should have the power washers. Everybody hears that. But obviously, then they'll just think that the people are power washing, and they'll just put in their noise-canceling headphones.
There's no onoa when it comes to a merchant. Mishum shu tager ain't lo onoa just because he's a merchant, so onoa doesn't apply. What does that mean? So Amr of Nachman says of Nachman Amr Rab b'tager safser shanu, that we're talking about a broker. Interesting. We're talking about a broker over here. Somebody who buys and immediately sells. My time alka made the yodas avinte kama shavya. Because a broker is not really, you know, he's not selling stuff that he cares much. You know, he's not like, you know, something that he has long term and fostering stuff. I don't know. He's buying, he's a numbers guy, right? Buy low, sell high, right? So he knows exactly his inventory. He knows that he bought this morning. He's hoping to flip it by the end of the day, you know? So he knows exactly how much he bought it for, how much he wants to sell it for. So he knows exactly the numbers, you know? So therefore, I might think, may the yodas avinte kama shavi. Look, a broker knows exactly how much he's buying for. He just bought it that morning. Vachuli achil gabi. And if he's selling it for lower, so then it's a calculated thing. Vahai dezabna, the reason why he's selling it at a lower rate, at a lower price, at a loss even. Achi mishum. This Ramyo le zavinta achrise, because he had another opportunity, a different opportunity to buy. Behashtamiya kahadarbe. So meaning, what happened? He's a broker. He's a numbers guy. He knows that he bought it this morning for this much. He knows exactly how much he's selling it for in order to make a profit. If he sells it for less than that, it was a calculated move because he had a different opportunity to buy something more lucrative and he needed some cash or whatever it might be. Kilo. When it comes to a broker, you can assume that he's very on top of whatever decisions, you know, sell decisions he's making, and therefore there wouldn't be, you know, if he sells at a lower price, there would not be onoa. And you know, if now he's coming back to you and saying, "Hey, oh," and he cuts, you know, gives you a sob story about how he sold it for too low. No, hashda mia ha kohadarbe. Right now he's deciding, okay. Now I want to make a sob story, but he did it intentionally. He knew exactly what he was doing, and there's no no over there. Rav Ashi Omer says, Rav Ashi, my ain litago ono. What does it mean that there's no ono for a merchant? Ain bitoras ono. No fakir. It means that while generally in terms of ono, if it's less than a sixth, so then it's there's mechila. Not so by a broker. Shafilu pachas michde ono chozer. That even if he sold it for less than would normally, you know, meaning the amount that he sold it lower, would not generally, qualify for ona'ah. It's not enough to be ona'ah. But nonetheless, for him, by a merchant, it would be chozer nonetheless, because, I don't know, I guess his livelihood depends on like selling things at the right price or something like that. Tani Kavasir of Nachman, Taka, I have a Bryce supporting of Nachman who says that when it comes to a merchant, everything is calculated and therefore there's no ona because he intentionally sold it at whatever price he sold it. Rebuta Omer says Rebuta Tagar in the ona bipnei shu baki, that there's no din ona by a broker because I'm saying merchant, but when I say merchant now, I'm talking about a broker bipnei shu baki because he's an expert, right? Ona, the point is when a seller sells something for too low. It's chaval. Wait, he clearly made a mistake. When it comes to a broker, he's an expert. He's a numbers guy. He knows exactly how much he bought for, exactly how much he sold for. There's not going to be oh no over there. Mishuhutal olav yodo al yonam v'chule. Okay, so whoever got onoad, so they kind of have the option. Do they want to get a full refund or do they want to just get paid back the ona? So Mani Mas Nisan, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Reb Nosson v'lo Reb Yehuda. It's neither Reb Nosson nor Reb Yehuda. We saw at the end of the daf yesterday, maybe while everybody's brain was all mushy, we had seen this Brisa. Maybe let's read the Brisa together actually. And Afnun Amud Beis. It says Tanya, about 10, 15 lines from the bottom. The last word of the word of the line is Tanya. Tanya Kavasi de Rava, that we have a brisa supporting Rava. Ona'a pochis mishtus. So if you have ona'a less than a shtus, nikne mekach. So it's automatically approved immediately. Yosar al shtus, if it's more than shtus, batul mekach in either one, either the buyer or the seller can be chozer. Shtus, if it's a six, if it's actual, if it's ona'a. So then, kono, the transaction is valid, umachzer ono, but the ono needs to be returned. Divrei Reb Nosson. That is the opinion of Reb Nosson. So Reb Nosson is saying, be'etzem, that the halacha is that if there is ono, so machzer ono. So the ono is returned. Now, in our Mishnah, though, we had said that whoever got onod, taka has the choice, either to just get paid back the ono, or to say, I want a full refund. Yet in this brisa, Reb Nosson is saying that no, you don't get a full refund, you just return the ona. So that's why it would be hard to say that Reb Nosson is the author of our Mishnah. But at the same time, Reb Yudah Nasi, Omer says Reb Yudah, Yad Mocher Alo Elyona. Reb Yudah Nasi is saying that it is the Mocher, it is the seller who has the sort of leverage. Rotsa Omer Lo, if he wants, he could say, Tainli Mikhi, give me back what I sold you. Otainli Masha Inisani, or give me back sort of pay me add to the price that you paid, so that you're paying the fair price. Was there Kideshira the Tagar or the Krovo, and both by Ono and by Bitul Mekach, we're talking about within this window of Kideshiyar. So it also can't be Rabbi Yudah Nasi, because Rabbi Yudah Nasi is talking about from the perspective of the seller. Oh, not from the perspective of the seller, yet in our Mishnah we're talking about from the perspective of the buyer, right? Ratza omelo, tainli ma'osai, give me back, you know, I want a full refund for what I paid. Oh, tainli ma'ashini sani, or at least give me back the ona that I paid. So, Rabbi Yudah Nasi is from the perspective of the seller, yet our Mishnah is talking about the perspective of the buyer. So, it's hard to say that our Mishnah is Reb Nosson, since Reb Nosson said specifically that the ona returns, whereas our Mishnah gives the option of either the onara returns or you get a full refund. And it's also, we also can't say that it's Rebbe, because our Mishnah is talking about from the perspective of the buyer, yet Reb Yudah Nasi was talking about from the perspective of the seller. So back in the Gemara, Mishutol Olav Yodo Al Yonah V'chulei, Mani Mas Nisin, who is the author of our Mishnah? Lo Reb Nosson, it can't be Reb Nosson, Lo Reb Yudah Nasi, neither Reb Yudah Nasi, E Reb Nosson. It can't be Reb Nosson because Masnisin Katani Rotza, because our Mishnah had given options. If he wants, he can get a full refund. If he wants, he can just get back the Ona. Uvraisa Lo Katani Rotza, but the Braisa does not talk about he could do whatever he wants. The Braisa says specifically that he gets back the Ona. E Reb Yehuda Nasi, and to say that it's Reb Yehuda Nasi is problematic because Masnisin Katani Lokeach, because our Mishnah is talking about the perspective of the buyer, that the buyer could say, I want my money, I want a full refund, or just give me back my ona. Uvraisa Katani Mocher, whereas the Braisa is talking about the seller, that the seller says either, you know, pay me the difference or give me back my item. So Amar Belazo Ona Zo Enyudea Mishano. So Belazo says, Take, I don't know who the author of our Mishnah is. Rabbi Amr says, Rabbi Le'olam Reb Nosson he? Our Mishnah is Reb Nosson Utni Nami Bibraise Rotza. And just in our Braisa, amend the Braisa to say that it means if he wants to, he can get paid back the Ona'a. Alternatively, he can get a full refund. Rava Amr says, Rava La'olam Reb Yudah Anasi, he. Rava says that really our Mishnah is Rebbe. Okay, so why is our Mishnah talking about the Lokeach and the Braisa is talking about the Mocher? My Deshir, B'mas Nisin, Kom Meforish B'Braise. And whatever the Mishnah left out, i.e. discussing the Mocher, so the Braisa picked it up. So the Mishnah was talking about the Lokeach, so the Braisa talked about the Mocher. Ho ho. Omar Rav Ashi says, Rav Ashi, dekanam, you could take infer oichit, dekatoni echad olokeach vechad amocher. At the beginning of the Mishnah, it talks about that both the buyer and the seller, umifarish le lokeach, but then the Mishnah at the end is specifically talking about from the perspective of the buyer. So, shmamino shayure shayre, Lemocher shmamina. So clearly, the mocher was left out, was left extra from the Mishnah. So the Braisa talked about, Rabbi Yehuda and Anosi and the Braisa talked about the perspective of the mocher. Alright, fine. My brain's getting a shtickle mushy, but we're doing okay, I think. It's not super mushy, and I think we'll be alright. This isn't a humongous stuff, I don't think. Alright, where are we? Itmar. It was stated out. Omela chavero. All right. If somebody says, "Amenas she'en l'cha olai ono," so if somebody a seller sells something to a buyer and he says, "Hey, buyer guy, I'm selling this to you under the condition," right? What do you say? "Amenas under the condition that don't come saying." Don't come after me saying, "Hey, oh no, you overpaid me, you overcharged me." Look, I'm selling this to you under the condition that you're not going to have any claims of ono'ah against me. Now, he's not saying that this is ono'ah and I want you to tell me that you're not going to come after me. No, he says, look, I'm selling you this. I don't want you to come back to me at some later point and say, "Hey, what, ono'ah, this, you charged me too much." No. I'm selling this to you under the condition that you're never going to make any claims of ono'ah against me. Rav Amar Yeshlo, all of ono'ah. Rav says, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. Ono'ah is a mitzvah in the Torah. You can't be masna mashakosu b'Torah. You can't do that. Right? Forget it. It's bogus. Of course, you could come back and say you overcharged me if it's true. Ushmuel amre ein lo alav ono'ah. Shmuel says, okay, he can do it. And yeah, okay, if he agrees. So then there won't be any ono'ah. Fine. No claims of ono'ah. Lema Rav d'amak Reb Meir Ushmuel d'amak Reb Yehuda. So let's say that Rav holds like Reb Meir. And Shmuel holds like Reb Yehuda, the Tanya, as we learn in Brisa, Omer Leisha, a fellow says to a fellow, "Hare at mikudeshes li, you are betrothed to me." Wow, this feels like so long ago, and it wasn't that long ago. I mean, kiddushin was right before Bava Kama, but chaver, once you get into Bava Kama and Bava Metzia, that's just what's happening. That's just what's up right now. Everything else just feels like a lifetime ago. Bava Kama and Bava Metzia have been so full on. That is like everything else just feels like a different lifetime ago. So Shmuel Omar ain lo olav ono'ah. Where are we? So fine. So then Rav Amar Reb Meir Shmuel Amar Reb Yehuda D'Tanya Omer Leisha Rav Mekudesh Esli Al Menas She Ain Loch Olai Shekzuz V'Ono. So you are Mekudesh to me under the condition that you will have no claims against me for clothing, food, and intercourse. Sarezo miku deshes utno batul divrei meir. So the kiddushin is good kiddushin, right? Rei miku deshesli, but the condition of under the condition that I'm not giving you share, forget it. That's ridiculous. Masna moshe kosi b'tor. You can't do that. Forget about it. The kiddushin is good. The tanai is absolutely not. That's Reb Meir's opinion. Reb Yehuda Omer says, Reb Yehuda, "Bedover shebimamon tano'o kayim." Reb Yehuda says, look, there were three things in that condition. Sharing ksus are mamon. Ona is not mamon. Ona is like, what does Rashi say anything there? I don't know. But ona is not considered mamon. Sharing ksus nitan lemechila v'ari machla, aval ona sheitzara guf lo nitan lemechila. It's a more emotional thing. It's not money. So Reb Yehuda makes a distinction. He says, look, sharing ksus, which is money, he can make a condition. He can stipulate that, and if she agrees to it, then fine. Oh no, he can't. He can't make a stipulation on that. So we want to say that Rav, who says, if you know, I'm selling this to you on the condition that you have no claims of ona. So right, there's ona and there's ona. But anyways. So Rav says, forget about it. That's ridiculous. So he's going to be like Reb Meir, who says, forget about it. That's ridiculous. Right? It's no, that condition is crazy. And Shmuel, who says, no, the condition is fine, is going to be like Reb Yehuda, who says, yeah, you know, when it comes to Mammon, it's fine. Fine. But now, both Rav and Shmuel are going to try to convince us that actually both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda are on their side. Rav, Omelach Rav, No, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with me. I know that when it comes to Ariya Mekudesh Esli, Amanah She'en, L'Chadesh Ha'Ksus V'Ona, he says that the T'nai is relevant when it comes to Sher V'Ksus. I get it, by Davish Ibn Mamun. But when it comes to, I'm selling this to you under the condition that you won't have any claims of Ona'a, Rabbi Yehuda would be on board with me that that's ridiculous. Because when it comes to when it came to the Kiddushin, she knew exactly what she was signing up for. He said to her explicitly, under the condition that you will not claim Sher Ksus Ve'ona, and she says, sure, no problem. She knew exactly what she was signing up for. Therefore, Buddha says, look, when it comes to Davarship Mammon, the Tanai is going to be Beseder. Avalacha, but over here, Miyada de Machil. Right, it's like I was saying by the fruits and vegetables monger. I don't know. Is it Ona? Is it not Ona? You know, I asked. I said, hey, it seems like it's a little bit high. I wouldn't have had no clue. So therefore, I don't know that, you know, so if I go and buy, he says, look, you know, all sales are final. You know, don't come back to me and say Ona. And I say, yeah, sure, fine, no problem. I don't know if it's Ona or not. So therefore, Rav says over there, Rabbi Yehuda would agree with me that's ridiculous and that you can't make such a stipulation. So he doesn't know if he's being Ona'd to know if he should be Mochel or not. After all, right, we had talked about yesterday how you have that window where people can, you know, see, oh, you bought something and they start telling you how much they paid for it. That's when you find out after the fact, not at the time. Shmuel says that no, you can make that stipulation and there won't be any Ona in that case if you make a condition. So Amr, he says, oh no, the Am Yafilu Reb Meir. Shmuel was even Reb Meir who says that by the Kiddushin, forget about it. You can't be Masna Masher Kasu B'Torah, but over here by Ona, Reb Meir would agree with me. Ad kan lo kamer Reb Meir also. Reb Meir says over there, el devade ko'oker. Because look, if he's pretty explicit and he says, you are mekudesh to me under the condition that you will not make any claim to these things that are listed explicitly in the Torah. That's ridiculous. Reb Meir would say, of course it's nonsense. But when it comes to Ona, avalacha b'rovir miyemer de ko'oker, Midi, who says that he's actually violating? All he says is, look, all sales are final, right? There's no you can't come to me with any claims of Ona. That is not to say that I'm ripping you off. That's just saying, I won't honor any claims. But it doesn't mean that he's necessarily ripping him off. It could be, you know, fair. Is there any phrase about fair? Like, fair as a square. Is that like a thing? Whatever. So avalacha mi yemer de ka'akr midi, and therefore Reb Meir would agree that by Ona you can make such a stipulation. Amr of Anan says of Anan the dimifarsh le midi mine to my Shmuel. It was explained to me Shmuel's opinion. Ha'omer lachaver, if a person says amanas she ein lecha olai Ona ein lo olav Ona, that if the stipulation is under the condition that you can't make claims of Ona, so that's valid as we've seen. However, if he says, however, amanas she ein bo Ona, well then are yesh bo Ona. Right? But if what he said is, I'm selling you this under the condition that there is no Ona, that I'm not overcharging you, and if it turns out that he is, well, he said he wasn't, and he is, so obviously, then he didn't stick to his stipulation, and of course it goes back. Meisve, we have Akasha, Anosiv Anosin Ba'amonim. Okay, somebody who does business Ba'amone. All right, we're going to learn more about this at the end of the Da'at, but Be'etzem, what Amone is that, You say to a fellow, look, meaning you're sending him out because you trust him. You say, hey, look, I have some merchandise I want you to sell for me. I trust you're going to get me the best price I can possibly get. And he sends out somebody to sell epis for him. And he pays the person, you know, a fee. We're going to learn a little bit more at the end what exactly these fees are. But, you know, he pays the person to go to the market and sell on his behalf. And he trusts him that he's going to get him the best price that he can get. All right. So somebody who does business on trust, that he trusts somebody to sell for him and get him the best price. And if a person says to his friend, I'm selling you epis under the condition that you don't have any claims of Ona against me. Ein lo olav ono'o. There is no ono in that case. So now, interestingly, here we have a brisa. But up until now, we saw machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda in the context of kiddushin and masna mashikosa b'torah. Here we have a brisa, and the brisa is saying that if a person says, you know, I'm selling you on the condition that you don't have any claims of ono, it's valid. So who's the author of this brisa? According to Rav, he had said, no. Both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda agree with me that when it comes to ono, it's bogus. You can't make such a stipulation. And yet here we have a brisa where we're saying that you can make that stipulation. So who is it? According to Rav, he says both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda agree with him. So who's the author of the brisa? Right? So there's no ono. So the Rav Amar Ono Dami Afilu Reb Yehuda. So according to Rav, who says that both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda agree with me that of course there's ono, that Tanai is bogus. So Amari, then who's the author of this brisa? So therefore, Amar Abaye rather says Abaye Machvay the Rav Amar Kribmei Vishmul the Amar Kribuda. So Abaye says, you know what? Look. Rav holds like Reb Meir that ain't no masna mashukosu. You can't be masna mashukosu but Torah, and therefore the Tanai is bogus. And Shmuel holds like Reb Yehuda, who says that the Tanai is valid because by Bedavar Sheva Mamon it is valid. Okay. That is Abaye's opinion, to just say, okay, fine. You know, we tried to say that both of them are going to argue that both Tanoim really hold like them. No, Reb Yehuda holds. Oh, that's interesting. Reb Yehuda holds. That's interesting. Where are those guys going camping? I hope they're not going camping in the north or the south. That wouldn't be very safe. I bumped into a friend of mine before, right, and she said they were going camping. She invited me, but I said, you probably don't want me to come. I said, I'm just going to be finding people to learn with. I'm not a fun guy to have around. Unless you like to learn. That hasn't been my experience, though. Anyways, all right, I hope they brought helmets. Anyways, So Abaye says, look, you know, Rav holds like Reb Meir, and Shmuel holds like Reb Yehuda. Fine. Rav Amar says, Rav, lo kasha, it's actually no problem at all. I mean, you could still say that Reb Yehuda would say that, meaning by Kiddushin, Reb Yehuda had said that you could be right, Bedavar Sheva Mamon Tano Kayim. Okay. Rav wanted to say, yeah, but when it comes to Ona, Reb Yehuda would agree with me that since it's not clear meaning, but when it came to sharing ksus, really, she knew what she was signing up for, and therefore Reb Yehuda said that the Tanai was valid. But over here, where you don't exactly know where there was that there's an ono or anything, so therefore you don't know what to commit to, and therefore Rav argues that Reb Yehuda would agree with him that that it would be an invalid Tanai. So then, who's the author of this brisa? Well, says Rava, well, this brisa is talking about something different than what Rav is talking about. Where am I? Rava Amar lo kasha, kan bistam, kan b'mefarish. So it depends. Where am I? If we look at Rashi for a second, stam amanas she ain lecha olai ona de lo yada denecho mefarish perish lo yodea ani she yesh bo ona va ani mochro lecha amanas she ain lecha olai ona de b'ha am Rabbi Yehuda de masne v'tano kaim de dami l'she'er v'chsus. Oh, so I read that quickly, but I'll explain it. So it depends. What did Rav say? Rav had made the argument, as I just explained a few minutes ago. Rav had made the argument. Look, Rabbi Yehuda only says when it comes to Kiddushin, because she knew exactly what she was committing to and what she was accepting, that I will not make claims about sharing ksus, share and ksus. The thing is, by ona, it wasn't clear that there was actually ona, so in that case, the person accepting the tanai doesn't actually know what they're accepting, and therefore it's invalid, according to Rav argues. However, the analogous scenario would be if The seller says, look, here's the deal. I'm overcharging you. Do you accept that? Is that okay with you? You will not claim onah. Do you accept? And you say, yes, I accept. So it's basically the same thing as saying, yes, I accept kiddushin without sharing sus, right? And as long as it's accepted, then it's acceptable. And the Braisa, which says that if he says under the condition that you won't make claim against me for onah, it's when he was explicit that, look, this is the deal, do you accept? And then Rabbi Yehuda would say there that, yeah, of course, I accept, right? So again, so Rav Omer says, Rav, lo kashis, no problem, kam bestam, kam b'mefarish. It depends if he's being clear about the onah or not, right? So if he's not being clear, so then Rabbi Yehuda would say that that of course there's still onah, but if he's being clear and he accepts the onah, then there's no onah. Titan is willing to price a b'mitzvah memurim. When do we say that there is that this tanai is valid? That if he says that there's no onah, then there's no onah. B'mitzvah memurim. No, when do we say that there would still be onah and that the tanai is bogus bistam if he doesn't clarify? Express, describe, define. What exactly the onah is? Avah b'mefarish, but if he's explicit, b'mefarish mocher, if the seller explains sha'amar that he says l'lokeach to the buyer chayfetz zesh ani mocher l'cha, I am now selling you something b'masayim for 200. Yodea ani bo she'enu shav elamana. Look, I know it's only worth 100. I'm selling it to you for 200. I'm way overcharging you. Al menas she'en l'cha olai onah. I will sell it to you under the condition that you will not make a claim of onah against me. Well, then ain't lo onah. Then he can't make a claim of onah because he knew exactly what he was signing up for, and he accepted that. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that's acceptable. V'chein lokeach shomer lemocher. And similarly, if a buyer said to a seller, "Look, chevet zesh ani lokeach mimcha b'mano, this thing that I'm buying for you for 100, yodea ani bo sheshav masayim. I know that it's worth 200. Hamanas she'en lecha ole onah. If I buy this, will you not have any, I will buy this under the condition that you will not have any claims of onah, and I'll have onah." So then, okay, the seller can't come after him and say onah because, he accepted what he was signing up for, and therefore, there would be, the condition would be valid in that case. Tana Rabbanon, the rabbis taught, Hanose v'hanosein be'amono. Oh, wow. Crazy. Tanur Abonon, Hanose Vanosein. Oh wow, I didn't realize that. Oh wow. Oh wow. All right. Tanur Abonon, Hanose Vanosein Ba'amon. Somebody who's doing business on trust, as we explained earlier, that he says to the messenger, Be'etzev, look, I trust you to get me the best price, and I'll just pay you a fee, and then you get me the best price. Hareza lo yichashev esara be'amono vesayofe b'shove. Interesting. So there's basically two ways that a person can make a deal with the messenger, right? One is the amana thing, that he says, look, I trust you, bro. I'll pay you whatever your fee is, but go out, get me the best possible price. Sell it to me for the best price, and then, the owner, gets the money, and the messenger gets paid, whatever he gets paid. We'll see in a minute what exactly he gets paid. So that would be amana. The other way that you could do a deal is that you could structure a deal is that the messenger buys it directly from the owner, right? That the owner says, look, let's make a deal. This is how much I can get for it right now. Why don't you pay me that amount? And now it's yours. Go out to the market and see how much money you can get. And if you can get more than what you're paying me now, make a profit. So it's yours. So those are kind of two ways that you could structure the deal. So what you should not do is the following. If you have two barrels of wine, one is a gewaltige barrel of wine that people will buy in a second for a good price. The other one is not an amazing bottle of wine and it's going to take a while to sell off over time. So now don't do the following. Don't say, look, for this barrel of wine that's really good, you'll be able to sell it off in a second. Why don't you give me money right now? Pay me, this is how much I can get for it. Pay me this money right now. And then just, go outside and flip it. You'll find somebody to buy it immediately. But then hold on to that money. And now there's this other barrel of wine, which is not as good. And it's going to take you a while to kind of sell it off. Hold on to that money. And while, you know, during that time, you could use the money, do whatever. I mean, ultimately, you're going to have to give it back to me, but, you know, you could spend the money in the meantime. And then, for that second, for the second one, it's like, you know, just sell it, you know, as quickly as you can, but, you know, it's going to take more time. It's not as good of a bottle of wine. And in that one, I will kind of pay you your fee and whatever else is, whatever the extra is, you will, right, you'll, and then, you know, whatever you sell, you know, you'll give me that. So it sounds like the owner then wants to basically, so the seller guy, the messenger guy, for the good wine, he basically paid the owner up front and then took that good wine and immediately sold it and got money. But then he holds on to this money until he manages to sell all the sort of inferior wine over time. And then once it's all sold, he will give the sort of messenger will give all the money in one lump sum to the buyer, to the owner. And the owner wants that this sort of benefit, if I understand correctly, which I might not, but what the owner wants is that this benefit that the messenger got from being able to use this money, you know, during that time, that he didn't immediately pay it to the owner, meaning from the original good bottle of wine that he barrel that he was able to sell immediately, and he got this money, he didn't immediately give it to the owner, but he held on to it and he was able to use it during that time. Of course, he had to pay it back at the end. And then at the end, he kind of gave back all the money from both barrels of wine at once, but he was able to get benefit from the use of the money in the meantime. So the owner wants that sort of benefit to count as his payment for the amana. That is not possible because Rashi explains that it's like a ribis, it's like an interest kind of thing. That that basically he's returning this money plus, like, you know, this kind of, you know, extra benefit that he got is kind of being somehow thrown in there as well. I mean, it's like he's returning the money plus, I guess, so meaning, I guess he's getting this money and he returns it plus, I guess, somehow using the use of the money as payment for him. Also means that I guess he's like paying back not just the principal, but he's also kind of like forfeiting this additional money that he would get. So it's like, I guess he's paying that back to the owner too. And that's some kind of like ribis similarity kind of thing. Something like that. Because I guess he's giving back the money. Plus also he doesn't need to, you know, he's kind of forfeiting getting that extra payment. So he's kind of like throwing that in as well. So it's like he's getting back more than just kind of what he sold. The money of what was sold. Fine. So don't do that. Okay. So again, so Tanu Rabbanan, Nosev Anosim Ba'amono, Harezo Lo Yichashev Es Hara Ba'amono. Don't have him sell for you the bad stuff Ba'amono. You know that like he will you know sell it for you at the best price and give you that money. Vesayofe Bishave, and the good stuff that he'll be able to sell immediately. Don't say, hey, just give me the price of it now, and then you can immediately flip it. Elo Ozev Ozev Ba'amono. Look. Both barrels have to have the same agreement for both barrels. Either both of them are be'amono, or zevoze be'shove, or have him buy both of them at face value and then sell them and keep the proceeds for himself. V'nosin lo schar kosef, and in terms of nosin be'amono, what do you have to pay him for? You have to pay him to pay the fee for the porter, whoever's going to be schlepping this stuff for him to the market, I guess. Schar gamel, also a camel rider, you know, I don't know if it's for a camel driver or just the renting a camel, but he's gotta pay for the cameling stuff. Schar pundek, if he has to stay overnight, you know, he would be paid for, you know, that would have to be taken care of for him. Schar atzma in an hotel, but the owner doesn't pay this messenger for his work. Shekvar nosein lo scharo mishalim, because he's already paying him. What do you mean he's already paying him? Well, for example, if he's selling like hemp clothing or something, he can keep 4% of it for himself, and that would be his payment. All right, friends, that was the Nun Aleph of Masechta Bava Metzia. We learned kind of more halachos about ona'a, that it applies both to the buyer and to the seller. Talked a little bit about like brokers and yeah, we saw the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel about can you make a stipulation to sell something without onah. Rav says no. Shmuel says yes. We saw the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about masna mashkos batora. All right, peace.